What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw, Absolute Basketball Podcast. Super excited for today's episode. We have Nate Hinton on today for an exclusive one-on-one interview. We're going to go through his decision to enter the NBA draft. We're going to go through his time at Houston, his recruitment. We're going to go through him growing up as a player, being a minister's son, and the list goes on. It's a great interview. Very excited for you guys to get to know more about Nate as he goes through this process during this time of quarantine and all of that. But also, we're going to go through the North Carolina power rankings for AAU this year. We're about 6 weeks in right now. We got people playing every week. Pretty good sample size going through. This is something that comes out every week. So the power rankings are fluid with lots of movement, again, every week. But we wanted to go through and discuss. It caught some traction on Twitter when we posted these last 2 weeks. So we wanted to do this one on the podcast, get some discussion going, give our thoughts on it, and we want to hear your thoughts on it. But before we get into it, we ask the normal, would you please subscribe to this podcast? Would you please also rate it 5 stars? And please leave in the comment section below what you think of it. That would be great. That really helps us out to get to more audience. That helps get these players, these coaches' stories out to more people as well. So if you would, please go ahead, rate 5 stars, subscribe to the podcast, and leave in the comment section below what you enjoy, what you like most about it, and all that type of stuff. We greatly appreciate it. But here we go. Let's jump right into the power rankings. Today we're going to be going through the power rankings, North Carolina AAU power rankings, top five. You know, we've been in it for about 6 weeks now. Teams have played lots of games. We have a pretty good sample size. We've been doing it online each week for the last couple of weeks now. So here we're going to go through verbally, talk it through. I want to hear from you, if you would please respond. Let us know what you think, where these teams lie, and all that type of stuff. But without further ado, here comes North Carolina AAU power rankings for the 2020 AAU season. Number one. No, we'll start with five. Juice All-Stars. They are currently 13-5. They're just coming off of a victory in the U.S. basketball games where they won the 17U division there. They have notable wins. Team Charlotte, PSB Rise, Garner Road Whitley. And they've also beaten Drill Academy, Miami Rebels, the Alabama Celtics, and one Carolina out of South Carolina. So they've had a pretty diverse range of wins throughout the Southeast, also with this past week coming up. With their losses coming to Team Marie, Team Eat, CC Elite, B Mays. So no real bad losses there on the schedule. Some really good wins there as well. They're coming in at number five, led by James Black. You know, they have a very athletic, very gritty, very tough bunch. BJ Keith, the starting point guard. They got the twins there at the forward positions, and they got a whole roster of players that just really play hard. Obviously, James Black does a great job with them. They get them super motivated, and they've traveled and won. Again, they're 13-5 right now, and looking to keep going. Moving on to number four, Team Marie. You know, they have a fluid roster. They have a couple core guys that have been there, to the likes of Noah Ross, Deontay Green. They've had to a lot of their games, the likes of Bobby Pettiford, Jaquavion Smith, Breon Pass has played, Jacquez Schuler's played some games with them, Jacoby Wright, got them their first four wins and all that stuff. But they sit currently at 15-7, after going 0-4 this past weekend in Hoop Scene. There's a toss-up between Team Marie and Juice All-Stars. They're kind of sitting right there on the same stage. Team Marie beat Juice head-to-head, giving them the nod to number four. They've got wins over the likes of Upward Stars, PSB Rise, the Atlanta Timberwolves, Lions 2.0, and they've won twice over Garner Road 3SSB, B Mays, then the big Juice win and all that stuff. With their losses coming to Team Charlotte, Team Curry, Team Eat, Game Elite, Aim High, EAB, and Team Huncho. So no bad losses there. Most of those teams are either carry numerous Division I players or are shoe circuit teams and all that type of stuff. So they, coming off the 0-4 weekend at Hoop Scene, head coach Thomas Carr put together some good stuff. You know, all their players are getting offers and everything too. So it'll be very interesting to see how they do this coming weekend. I believe they're going to be at the Phenom event this weekend. So it'll be very interesting to see how they bounce back this up-and-coming week. Very exciting team. They play a very exciting style of basketball. Coming in at number three, we have Team Charlotte sitting at 6-2 right now. They have wins over Team Marie, Garner Road, PSB Rise, Upper Stars 3, SSB, and Team Trez. With their losses, their lone losses coming to Team Eat and Juice All-Stars. Both top five teams on this list as well. Team Charlotte head coach Jeff McGinnis, you know that he's going to coach them up. You know his team's going to play with a passion and a fire. They're going to be tough and they're going to defend. This year, they're led by some shot makers and some athleticism, obviously. You have current Winthrop commitment, Ben Burnham, and Omarion Bodrick, Ja'Cory Owens, kind of manning the paint there. At the guard positions, you have Justin Taylor, you have Chris Robinson, you have Trey Benham, noted shot makers, and all that type of stuff. Their teams are tough. Their teams are deep. They defend, they rebound, and with this current roster, they make shots, which is huge as well. There are other guys also on the roster as well, too. But the depth and the shot-making ability of this team make them tough with the length and athleticism and the style of play that they have under Coach Jeff McGinnis. 6-2, sitting right now, kind of a smaller sample size from the rest of them, but they'll be back at it this week as well. Moving up to number two, you have Team Eat, which is pretty much the team-loaded North Carolina team. Their only losses coming this year to Team Curry twice, Garner Road and Team Huncho out of Georgia. They've got they're sitting at 10-4 right now, led by point guard Elijah Jamison. They have Jalen McDonald. They have breakout star Elijah Wilson. He moved in from Atlanta this December. We have been writing about him, I guess Absolute Basketball, me, been writing about him since February into March and all that type of stuff, calling him the level of caliber of player that he is. I think other people are finally seeing it now, too, over these last couple of weeks as well, with Elijah Wilson, Brandon White, another big breakout player there, B.J. Freeman, toting the scoring load, and a host of other players there as well. As we said, virtually the team-loaded North Carolina team. Team Eat, 10-4 right now. Their wins – Palmetto Hurricanes, B Mays, Big Shots North Carolina, Team Charlotte, Team Marie, Mint Hill Lakers, PSB Rise, Carolina Pressure, all very quality wins, all very good teams as well. So, it'll be, again, getting to see them again this coming weekend, see how they continue to go. And then Team Curry, number one team, holding down the number one slot. They've been there for each week now. They're coming off a 3-1 weekend at Hoop Scene. Their losses on the year, Team Thad, Upward Stars, Team Huncho, and B Mays. I'm sure that they would like to have a couple of those back. But they came back on that Huncho loss. They lost to them 2 weeks ago at the Sean Williams event in Spartanburg. They came back this weekend at Hoop Scene in probably one of the most exciting games I've seen this AAU season so far. They were down 25-5, came back, ended up winning the game. Raekwon Horton making a key shot there down the stretch, and then some key rebounds and defensive possessions there as well. Team Curry, they're about nine deep right now, I guess, with Angelo Brizzi. He has committed to Villanova, and he did not play this past weekend. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup with an injury, nursing things as well. Big breakout player for them this summer, Jamari Thomas, their point guard. He has really come along each and every week, each and every time he steps on the floor. The game development has been vast. He's running the team. He has the full confidence of everybody on the floor around him. Jonas Adu has been a huge addition as well. Jonathan Curtis making huge strides. Kuel Mating, top 150 player in the country with multiple high major offers. You have Ian Shefflin, just kind of a glue guy, dirty work. Type of guy, Virginia Tech, Clemson offers as well. You have Raekwon Horton, you have Jalen Doyle, AJ Allen's back, who's committed to Army. Just a good overall team with no real stars. Everybody's kind of on an equal playing field, and they all play for each other. Everybody wants the other one to have success on that team, and they've continued to show the winning aptitude. Coach Sim Frazier has them playing great basketball right now. Again, 3-1 this past weekend in Hoop Scene with the one loss, I believe, to Upward Stars 3 SSB. But there you have it. the top five power rankings, North Carolina AAU basketball for the 2022 AAU year. Number one, Team Curry. Number two, Team Eat. Number three, Team Charlotte. Number four, Team Marie. Number five, Juice All-Stars. And then for the next up, the next in line, we have PSB Rise, McCarthy. We have Big Shots, North Carolina, Elite. And then we have Flight 22. Flight 22 winning Big Shots, Myrtle Beach this past weekend, led by the likes of Bryce Harris. You have the Benny Brooks on that team as well. Big Shots North Carolina is kind of the Moravian Prep varsity team there. Dondre Watson is a big name for them. Bradley Haskell also for Flight 22, the point guard, with Winthrop and High Point offers. He continues to make note. He continues to be a big name, winning MVP award after MVP award. Then PSB Rise, led by the wing duo of Jarvis Moss and JP Haggerty, with a host of other players as well who really fill in their roles. All of these teams have multiple Division I players. All of these teams also have multiple Division II players as well, and some Division III guys sprinkled in also on the rosters for college coaches to make sure they see. And with the big weeks this weekend coming up with maybe a stumble or two from the top five, don't be surprised to see a possible Flight 22, Big Shots North Carolina lead, or PSB Rise jump into the top five possibly. You know, the thing is, not everyone's playing. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this week will be the first look. We will all get to see with the CP3 team. So it'll be interesting to see how they play into things. You know, bringing in Jaden Bradley, Jalen Huchefino. It sounds like they're bringing back Bobby Pettifer, Taquavion Smith as well, with Dontrez Styles and their whole team this coming weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out with them, how they look. And all that too. It'll be interesting to see how these guys bounce back. As we said, how Team Marie bounces back. Also too, Team Marie, Bobby Pettifer, Taquavion Smith, Breon Pass, their key featured pieces in this Team Marie team for these past couple of weeks. Who will they have come in place for them, and how will they kind of mesh all of that together? Team Charlotte, you know, with the smallest sample size, they seem to be hitting their stride pretty well right now as well. So lots of questions to be answered. Obviously, power rankings are very fluid throughout the entire course of the season. They go week to week to week to week. This is where this week stands. Very excited about it. And we want to hear from you. What do you think about the power rankings? Who do you have in your top five, and where and why? Very eager to hear this discussion and who you have in line there. But as we said before, coming up is Maryland commitment Ike Cornish. We get to talk to him a lot about himself, his upbringing, his recruitment. We get to talk to him about why Maryland, why Legacy Early College, how he's enjoying South Carolina, what he did over quarantine, and it was a great conversation. Really get to peel back the layers with the top 100 prospect and all of that stuff as well. But if you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. If you would, please rate it 5 stars. Leave in the comments section below what you enjoyed most about it. That really helps us out within the rankings, gets these players and coaches' stories out to more people, more majority of it. If you would also please go onto YouTube, subscribe to the Absolute Basketball Experience. Very excited. We just hit our 1,000th subscriber this past week, and it's continuing to grow as well. And then subscribe to this podcast. Follow me on Twitter at JamieShaw5. Instagram at Jamie_Shaw5. Very eager to hear from you. And without further ado, here is our exclusive one-on-one interview with Nate Hinton. Thank you guys very much. What is going on, everybody? It is Jamie Shaw here on the Absolute Basketball Experience. On today's episode, we sit down and have a conversation with Nate Hinton, the Houston Cougar who is testing the NBA draft waters now. We go through his career. We go through his unique style. We go through what he's doing to prepare for the NBA process. Very exciting talk. Very eager for you guys to listen to this. Before we get into it, though, we have the normal ask. If you would, please subscribe to this channel and give this video a thumbs up. Also, if you enjoyed the interview, feel free to share it across your personal platforms as well. We want everybody to hear everything that Nate has to say. Get that thing going, because he's a great young man and did a great job with this conversation. But without further ado, here is Houston Cougars Nate Hinton on the Absolute Basketball Experience with Jamie Shaw. What is up, everybody? It is Jamie Shaw here with the Absolute Basketball Experience. I am here with Houston Cougar, Nate Hinton, who recently put his name in for the NBA draft, working out and everything. Nate, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well. Big topic on the everybody's mind, the Jordan documentary the other night. Did you get a chance to watch
it? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, I did. Yes, sir.
What were your initial thoughts?
Michael's a bad boy, I tell you that. For sure, yeah.
I tell you who came across who was bad was Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's definitely one of those guys that I definitely want to play on his team any day. I didn't know
that was crazy.
Specifics of his game like that, but I know that he's a problem.
Yeah, I didn't know he was like that. Like he showed in that documentary. I was like, God dang, Pippen was a bad dude.
Right.
Jumping right into things here. Your dad's a pastor of a big church in your hometown, Gastonia, Dr. Hinton. What was it like growing up, and how did that mold you into who you are today?
Dealing with the people and people business. My dad taught me how to stay with high character and conduct everything in a orderly fashion and do everything the right way. And that's the main thing of everything that I do, just trying to do the right things and going about it the right way. So my father, he's a high character person, so that I got those genes, and he speaks well. He's a great speaker, so in some ways I can speak well as well. So it's a great charisma. You know, when he gets on that stage, when he gets on that platform and doing what he does, he shows his great confidence and great poise, and no matter the crowd, whether it's one person in there or is it 1,000, so just having that genuine love for exactly what he does.
You had a great high school career, over 2,000 points, all this stuff, but you didn't really blow up until the Adidas Gauntlet finale in between your junior and senior year, and then things got hectic for you. You got stuff from all over the place. You got a top 100 ranking and all that. What was that time frame like for you?
My first initial reaction was I was excited. I was geeked. I had just my body. It was kind of like an out-of-body experience. But then when you settle down and think about everything that was happening, it was kind of a testament of the hard work and the dedication of putting the time in the gym. Because, that top 100 ranking was built from the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was supposed to be ninth grade, had a ranking, this and that. But it was it never manifested itself till the gym, the senior year, ultimately. And so having to work and seeing other guys kind of get theirs early and get their shine and get their mixtapes and get their camp invites and all that. And, I didn't really have a whole lot of camp of the national camp invites per se, the top 100 camps or the, just any camp, really. I didn't really go to those type of camps. So I didn't really wasn't a big time mixtape guy. And I just had to really put my my racehorse blinders on and kind of go to work. And at KOD with Coach Jody, we just really got in the gym and really worked. So we knew that it was my last year, last time playing AAU. And so I just really tried to go out there with a bang. And I just kind of just went out there and did my thing and just hoped and competed and went out there and be a winner.
Absolutely. And y'all made it all the way to the championship game of the Adidas Gauntlet that year. And you picked up probably 20 to 25 offers that weekend, if not more, most of them high major and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You ended up landing on Houston.
Right.
What was it about Houston that really set them apart from everybody else and made you feel like home?
Just the family atmosphere. I was getting a lot of love from the, ACC, some players close to home and some programs that were, I guess, bigger programs. But I decided to – I had a feeling that Houston was where I needed to be. I knew that I needed to take my game to the next level in situations such as this. I knew that if I wanted to become the man that I needed to be – for the future, I knew I had to go to Houston and play for Coach Sampson. His ties of being from North Carolina, and I see that they was doing great things, and they were on the verge of becoming what they are now and are becoming. I knew that I could ultimately bring a lot to their table, and they could help me, and we could be a mutual relationship. And so I just knew that that was exactly where I needed to be.
And you got on campus at Houston. Really good team, won a lot of games, probably one of the top 25, 30 programs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You started your third game of your career there.
Right.
What was it like when the coach told you that you were going to start, and what was your feeling that you had going through the third game of your career that you were starting?
My reaction was just, that was just a testament to the hard work. You know, I had some struggles there when I got on campus. Just some things I had to get to adjust to. It wasn't no internal struggles, but it was just adjusting to the next level and adjusting to the culture of the program and kind of seeing what they do and adjusting, taking what I bring to the table and to adjusting to theirs and kind of molding and things like that. But just kind of understanding the system. And once you grasp the system, it doesn't take long, some players long to adjust to it and thrive in it. And so just having that experience, having the confidence that coach knows that coach is doing well for me and coaches is actually trusting me to go out there and play. So that was a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every high school kid adjusts to college, right, basketball playing or not. There's an adjustment there. In high school, you scored 2,200 career points. In college, though, you have kind of set your mark on defensive and rebounding.
Right.
How would you describe your game?
I want to be a winner. And so me kind of being in a system where you're playing with better players, you're playing in a system where everything is surrounded by winning. And so, you know, in terms of my player development, I just wanted to kind of, you know, do whatever the team needed me to do. And I was asked, I had a lot on my plate, and the coaches, they put a lot on my plate, you know, in terms of what was expected of me. And so I just went out there and did what I was expected to do. And so I didn't get away from who I am. You know, I still became the player that I am, but a lot of things were just based on what I was expected to do. And so just my game is really, you know, I've always been able to rebound. I've always been able to defend. I've always been able to score. But my game is just kind of anything that you need me to do, the dirty work, the grimy, the mm-hmm. anything, get on the floor for loose balls, you know, just the intangibles that I bring to the game, my instincts on defense, and all those things that matter, you know, fall in love with the mid-range, things like that, you know, being able to knock down an open shot and being able to be dependable. Because, you know, in this game, it's a business. It's a game of basketball, just being dependable and being able to do your job and do it well.
So speaking of, you know, knocking down open shots and all that kind of stuff, your three-point percentage jumped to 39% this year, and right. Your attempts rose to 3.8 per game. Was your three-point shooting a focus of yours during the offseason and then development and all that stuff?
It was. I wanted to. I knew the shots that I was going to get. And I knew the spacing of the floor because, you know, coming from high school, you know, I had a ball in my hands. And so when I went to college, some things got moving around where I had to learn how to play without the ball. And so just being adjustment and always elevating your game and changing your game and molding it. And so having to play without the ball, knowing what kind of shots I was going to get, knowing what type of the spacing on the floor, I knew that, okay, the flow of the game, okay, where I would get my shots. And I knew just ultimately playing experience, the more you experience things, the more times you'll become better at it. And so kind of putting my head down and working on those shots and kind of working on my technique and just kind of being consistent, because I know I wanted to be the type of player where coach knew if the ball gets swung that it ultimately goes in every single time or has a chance to go in every single time with my shot prep and everything. I knew that it was also translate to the next level.
Looking at your kind of analytics and how you had played this season, you're one of only two players in the country, along with Caleb Wesson, who played over 900 minutes, shot over 38% from three, while having a box plus minus greater than 10 and a defensive rating less than 90.
Wow.
What type of player do you see yourself becoming at the next level getting into the NBA?
A winner. Just that type of player that's just being exactly who I am. Just being that type of player that's willing to go the extra mile, that's going to be the hardest worker on your team, that's going to be a great leader, a great teammate, a great heart and soul of the team, a great vocal leader, a great person that you can put on the posters, you can put on the billboards, you can go, you know, ask them to do public appearances, and I have no problem doing that. So, you know, just being that overall player of just being a dog and being that top tier guy of being the hardest working player on the court.
We're in quarantine right now, going through the coronavirus and all that kind of stuff. What does your day to day look like, and how are you handling this process?
I'm in the gym working. You know, we're not really slowing down, or we're not really trying to take no step backs. You know, my father is blessed to have a gym at his church. So, I obviously have access to that, and, we're getting a little weight lifting in and just in the gym working. So, when me and Coach Jody at KOD, when we get in the gym, we make magic. So that's exactly what we're doing right now, just steady working and being prepared, because we don't know what's going to happen. We just got to be ready, and you got to stay ready versus get ready.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
Favorite player was Kobe. Kobe Bryant, just that his swagger, his demeanor, just his mentality, just mid-range body frame, similar, just his overall body of work of how he just wasn't always, I guess, growing up. He had some struggles growing up in terms of the development to the player that he is. And then when he got to the league, just kind of he just rose and kept working and working and working until ultimately, may he rest in peace, to the player he was.
Who would you say that you play like, and who have you heard that you compare to kind of at the next level?
You hear a lot of people that you compare to, but I really players like Jimmy Butler, some of those guys that kind of hard workers that didn't never really was those top guys. Those are stories I can relate to, not being one of those top guys or not being those guys that had it made or coming up in the game of basketball, but just those guys that had to put their head down and really work. And ultimately that work is going to be consistent. That work is going to ultimately be the same. They're not going to be no other type player. So at the end of the day, I really want to be the best version of myself that I can be, because I know that, I'm a different type player. Everything that I bring to the table from the offensive side to the defensive side of being a complete player, I know that it's unmatched, and I haven't seen it. I've seen similar things of, bits and pieces from here and there, but I haven't seen the type player that I am.
As this process continues to go on, I believe these NBA, they're able to go through more film of you. They're able to see how complete your game really was. It wasn't necessarily just rebounding and toughness. You're showing skill and stuff, and they're able to see that. And you continually rise up draft boards, draft charts, top 100 rank, all that type of stuff. What type of feedback have you heard so far from the NBA teams and all that stuff about where you're projecting and what it's looking like?
Right, yeah, all feedback is great feedback. So I'm enjoying this process and hearing what they're telling me, and just trying to take it with a grain of salt and keep moving and just try to keep working and stay ready, because if they have the time to have those workouts or whatever, just trying to be ready. So I'm just excited for this journey, excited to hear from the NBA, because I would have never thought that I would have this opportunity. I just kind of just put my head down to work. So.
You have a unique ability to rebound the ball as a wing. You went over double figures 11 times this season. Your per 40 average was 11.5 per game. Where did you develop this unique ability from?
I've always been able to rebound the ball. It's my heart. It's my heart, my passion. I've always found ways to get on the court, whether that be from ninth grade to playing up on different teams. I've always been able to be on the court. And a lot of times, some other guards were ball dominant that I played with. I've found ways that, they're going to be ball dominant. Well, I'm not going to force the issue and they have two dominant or three dominant ball handlers. I'm just going to go ahead. You got the ball when you got the ball, but when the ball goes shot, it's 50-50. Anybody can go get it. So I'm going to get it, make opportunities for myself. And ultimately, my hunger, my drive to be a go-getter, that's what it comes down to, just not waiting around. Some people got to wait around for your opportunity to try to go create the opportunity, but you got to go take it. So that's ultimately what rebounding is. Just got to go get the balls coming off the glass, go get it and make plays.
As you dive more into the tape here throughout your college, you see that you've consistently been able to knock down mid-range jump shots. You've consistently been able to make the right reads. You've been consistently able to touch the paint off the bounce. Get past your man on the first step, even though you're not a primary creator. How do you see your offensive game translating at the next level?
That's exactly it. Being able to open, knock down the open shot, being able to get to the mid-range, and the three-point line is going to be more spacing. So you're going to be able to operate more. You're going to be able to create more lanes. The more people are going to have to rotate longer. And so I just know that, just be able to knock down the open shot, be able to get to your mid-range, and be able to create. So that's just, I know that's going to translate, and you got to, the basic of basketball is the same, at every level. So say you got to rebound, defend, and knock down shots. And so ultimately with more spacing, it's going to be more opportunity and a faster pace and more athletes and more competition. I'm a competitive spirit. So competition brings the best out. So the more you play against the best of the best, the top of the world, literally, you play against, you know, superstars every single night. So I just know that you have to be on the top of your game.
And in going through this process, you're looking for information to gather as to decide to go back to Houston or to go to the NBA draft. What information would you find or be looking for that would keep you into the draft?
I'm not getting into that information right now. Just going to go from there.
Absolutely. So you're listed at 6'5", 210. Have you gone through any combine testing lately? And what numbers, you know, vertical and size, weight, all that stuff, length. Have you gone through that lately? And what did you come out with?
I haven't gotten into that, but we're gonna do that. We work on that every day, really. You know, working on your intangibles, things like that. But we'll get into that as we get more into preparation and preparing for the league and things like that. We don't know if there's probably not gonna be a combine, so. Mm-hmm. We still gonna be able to kind of get that work in and kind of show it on film, yeah. What I can do. But I haven't started on that yet. We just kind of trying to get my body and get my game back to the basics of everything, and trying to get back to really who I am and be able to handle with the ball and being able to just kind of get back in my mode, in my work mode. And so just keep grinding.
Yeah, absolutely. We like to kind of end everything here with kind of a rapid fire, quick questions to, first thing that pops in your mind, whatever the answer is. Mm-hmm. If you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would it be?
Jerry.
If you could kill any fashion trend that's going on right now, what fashion trend would that be?
The tights with a little scrunch at the bottom. I ain't got nothing against it because I know somebody that makes them. But I just don't understand the whole process of how that works. I'm not gonna lie. I don't a little scrunch at the bottom. I don't get that. Maybe I gotta be woke to it, but I don't know right now.
And if you could eat only one meal forever, what would that meal be?
Lemon pepper wings, a little mac and cheese, have a little lettuce on the side, you know, a little salad for the healthy, a little lemonade with the water.
Oh, I like it. That's a good one. Anything else that you'd like to say, Houston fans, NBA people watching, or anybody, any Nate Hinton fans, anything else that you'd like to add?
Houston Cougars, you know, it's all love. I love you guys. Houston Cougars for life, no matter what. To the Houston Cougars basketball family, it's Houston Cougars for life, family for life. And NBA, any NBA teams, you know, you about to get a winner. The winner, the hard worker, the hardest working player that you've ever seen. You know, I'm just ready to work and excited for this journey, excited to take this next step.
That's awesome. Nate, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For Nate Hinton, I'm Jamie Shaw on the Absolute Basketball Experience. Thank you guys very much.
And there you have it, our conversation with Houston Cougar wing Nate Hinton as he ventures into declaring for the NBA draft and going through that process and making decisions and all that moving forward. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to this channel, like this video, and if you enjoyed the conversation, please feel free to share it across your platforms as well. In the comments below, we want to hear who you have going number one in the NBA draft. Who is your number one pick? Is it Edwards? Is it Wiseman? Is it Ball? It could be somebody else. You let us know in the comments who's your number one pick. Until next time, I'm Jamie Shaw on the Absolute Basketball Experience. Thank you very much for tuning in.